שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, גימו במח ישבן, פרשס נוח, תשתן עין וב, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 15 October 2015, webcasting from the Holy Land, once again splattered in Jewish blood. Could there be two peoples on earth so unlike, the Jews and the Arabs, descended from half-brothers, Isaac and Ishmael? Same father, different mother. One mother was of the line of Shem, like her husband, cousin, uncle, relative, Avraham. The other was the granddaughter of Ham. The former gave birth to Jacob, who later became Israel, and the latter gave birth to Ishmael, expelled from his father's tents because he was such a wild ass of a person, and even a potential murderer of his own half-brother, I think, in his mother's eyes, anyway. But the character of Ishmael goes even deeper into human history. He seems to carry the spiritual genes of Cain in English, the first murderer in history whose crime was fratricide, murdering one's brother. Cain, remember, was shown mercy by Hashem. Perhaps he did not know it was wrong to kill another person. God protected him by putting a mark on his forehead to ward off potential killers and even let Cain bear offspring. Indeed, seven generations came from him. None of them, though, survived the great flood, except for one woman. Cain's seventh generation descendant, Lamech, had children with two separate women. Ada gave birth to two boys, Yaval and Yuval, and Tzila gave birth to a boy and a girl, Tuval, Cain, and Naamah. Interestingly enough, this last male descendant of Cain bore Cain in his own name. All this is the plain reading of Bereishis, but according to the sages in the traditional Midrash, the homiletic interpretations, his sister Naamah married Noah. She was Mrs. Noah. Noah was the 10th generation from Adam and Eve, and their third son after the murder of Havel by Cain, Seth. Noah's wife in the text is never named, but the sages say it was Naamah. And she gave birth to three boys, Shem, Japhet, and Ham, who, when introduced in the text, that third one, gets a special introduction. The reader is told he was the father of Kenan, of Canaan, which makes sense because it was Moses who transcribed this story and told it to the children of Israel in the Sinai desert to teach them of the heritage of the people they were destined to invade and dispossess. The Canaanites, like the Egyptians they had slaved for, were also Hamites. Ham, we also read, is singled out for his abuse, disrespect of their father. And maybe even according to the sages, he homosexually raped him. First time I read that interpretation, I was puzzled big time. Where did that come from? But then I learned that the sages in question in the Midrash were specifically the famous heads of the two great yeshivas in Babylon, a.k.a. ancient Iraq, where a decade ago U.S. troops discovered the normalcy of the homosexual rape in that culture. Ham is singled out in the narrative, and as the great 19th century German Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch taught us, his name, meaning hot, reflects his hot-headed, hot-blooded character. From him will come Ishmael, the wild ass of a man. Ham makes his entrance in the book of Genesis, within a verse of the appearance of for the first time of the word Hamas, the unbridled aggression that characterized man before the flood that brought on the flood. And as a believing Jew, I see no coincidence between that Hebrew word in its first context and the existence today of an Ishmaelitic culture called Hamas. And I say that Ham, more than his two brothers, all three born before the great flood, was the one most infected with Hamas, which survived the flood with him. He brought it over. to the history of man on the other side. He also bore the spiritual genes of his mother's distant forefather, Cain, the first murderer of his brother. That's who these Arabs are in our time, I think. This week, you can see them commit murder on the internet, commonly using knives. The spiritual rabies that drives them to this behavior, the plunging of blades into Jewish flesh again and again, they all have this preference for knives. Indeed, in the first intifada ignited by Hamas, in rebellion against and as a rival to Fatah, that the Fatah liked putting bombs in planes and blowing them out of the sky and planting them under the tomatoes in supermarkets, Jewish supermarkets, Hamas preferred what they themselves called white weapons, meaning knives. In their universe, they are, and they're not so wrong, there's something more horrifying about murdering Jews this way than with guns and bombs. It's the hands-on pleasure, I think, of sinking a blade into a Jew or Jewess, even like a 72-year-old woman yesterday at the Central Bus Station in Jerusalem. Stabbed her, too. As they stabbed in Pisgat Ze'ev, two Ishmaelite teenagers stabbed a Jewish teenager a dozen times. They are the sons not only of Ishmael, who had his bow and arrow that he used to kill animals for food, but also other men. They are the sons of Cain. Only an anti-Jew dullard like John Kerry would think these flashing blades wielded by these Ishmaelites, bent not only on homicide but suicide, are, as he implied yesterday, frustrated by the massive settlement activity. That's right, Ahmed is frustrated by massive settlement activity, so he goes out and murders people and kills himself. This is the same villain, Kerry, who ran to shake hands with the communist Viet Cong before he smeared his fellow American soldiers with being war criminals, and as he betrayed his country back then, so he betrays America's longtime ally and protege, Israel, stabbing us in the back with this nasty moral equivalence of equating both sides and doing so under the banner of not passing judgment. Kerry this week had his spokesman equate the behavior of one errant Jew in Dimona, and the legions of suicide murderers on the other side. That, too, his spokesman said, was an act of terrorism down in Dimona, and there you have it. Both sides commit acts of terrorism. And forget the different numbers involved. Not that the government of Israel is much help. As usual, these materialists focus on technical measures in self-defense. They have ordered a punishment for the families of these knife-wielding Muslim maniacs, but they don't dare call them Muslim maniacs. On the Gatestone site today, their Bassem Tawil, surely a pseudonym, got it right when he dismissed Kerry's nonsense about settlement activity as the motivation for this wave of horror killing. Quote, this is what Bassem Tawil said, quote, "This conflict is not about Islamic holy sites or Jerusalem. Murdering a Jewish couple in front of their four children has nothing to do with the Al-Aqsa Mosque or, in his own quotes, occupation. For the terrorists, all Jews are settlers," in quotes, "and Israel is one big settlement. This is not an intifada. It is just another killing spree aimed at terrorizing the Jews and forcing them out of this part of the world. It already succeeded in the rest of the Middle East and is now being done there to Christians as well. The current wave of terrorism is just another phase in our dream," he calls himself a Palestinian, "to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. The terrorists and their supporters are not against a checkpoint or a wall. They want to see Israel destroyed, Jews slaughtered, and the streets of Israel running with Jewish blood," close quote. Right on. This is the correct image. Streets running with Jewish blood. Think of that Arab demon in that Ramallah police station 15 years ago with eyes as crazed as those of Renfield in the classic 1931 version of Dracula, after he was infected with the curse of the vampire. How fortunate we are then, fortunate is the word, to be able to see on the internet actual acts of murder by the sons of Cain, of Ham, and Ishmael, insane in their suicidal need to stab Jews to death, to see Jewish blood spurt, and themselves be killed in the act. A plague of madmen stalks the land of Israel.
אז איפה ניגנת בקיץ האחרון? שואלים אותי המון. ראינו אותך עם גיטרה שם לחופי הים התיכון. איך נכנסת? איך יצאת? איך הוציא אותי יותר נכון? כבר חורף וזה עדיין עושה לי קצת מחנק בגרון. ניגנתי עם איזה חבר בגן משחקים שבו ילדים לא ישחקו שוב יותר. ניגנתי על דשא, איך הם רקדו הצעירים? היום רקוחות משתוללות שם בין השברים. רקדנו ביחד עם משפחות סביב לשולחן השבת, בתים מלאים אהבה ואור. זה לא ריגש את הדחפור. עברתי ליד בית ריק, בחוץ ישבה אישה מלאה דמעות שלא מבינות. הסתכלתי בפנים וראיתי שהאורזים לפני שעזבו הספיקו לכתוב איזה משהו על הקירות, ואף אחד לא יקרא את מה שכתבו, כי עשו את הבית כולו גל של עצמות, יהי חורבות. הכתובת עוד נמצאת על הקירות. אז אל שאלו אותי איפה ניגנתי בקיץ האחרון, או מה עשיתי שם לחופי הים התיכון, בין הקינות והתהילים, שירי האמונה וביטחון. שרנו עוד פעם ועוד פעם עד הרגע האחרון את הבית ואת הפזמון. הרסו את הבית, נשאר הפזמון, הנה הפזמון שמזדחל מבין הריסות הבטון. הרסו את הבית, נשאר החזון, הרסו את הקיר, נשאר האוויר, איפה שהיה החלון, איפה שהיה החלון אפשר עדיין להביא דרכו. עברתי עם הגיטרה גדרות ומחסומים, אמרתי להם אני רק מבריח צלילים שמחים לאנשים בימים קשים. ונקראו לי שם המיתרים רוב שניגנתי וניגנתי, ואין לי כוח עד היום לשים חדשים. ואפשר לנגן גם כשנקראים המיתרים, אם אפשר לקרוא אנשים מהבתים. וליבנו עוד קרוע לגזרים. באתי לקבוצה של צעירים, הבאתי טופים וממתקים. היה מאוחר, היה מאוחר. הם לא רצו כלום, ישבו סביבי, אך לא ממש היו שם, מנסים לא להביט אל המחר. כי ביתם ארוז והוריהם כבר עזבו, איפה זה שם אותם בעולם? חזרתי לאשתי שחיכתה באוטו, נסענו לשירת הים. אז אם כבר שאלתם איפה ניגנתי בקיץ האחרון, הייתי שם, חופי הים התיכון, בין הקינות והתהילים, בין שירי האמונה וביטחון. שרנו עוד פעם ועוד פעם עד הרגע האחרון את הבית ואת הפזמון. הרסו את הבית, נשאר הפזמון, הנה הפזמון שמזדחל מבין הריסות הבטון. הרסו את הבית, נשאר החזון, הרסו את הקיר, נשאר האוויר, איפה שהיה החלון, איפה שהיה חלום, אפשר עדיין להביט דרכו ולחלום. אבל אתמול ראיתי איך שבונים מגרש משחקים חדש ליד ביתי, ממש מול העיניים. כשניגנתי שיר שקט למגורשים יום אחרי, אמרו תן קצב, רוצים לרקוד עד השמיים. האמונה הפשוטה שהכל מידו נותנת בנו שמחה, אפשר להיות עצובים כשמסתכלים וכל כך רואים. הולכת ונבנית, הולכת ונבנית לה, הולכת ונבנית ירושלים.
So the top story in Israel today, as of this evening, thank God, a quiet one, no Jew was slain by a Muslim maniac, arguably no more in control of his bloodlust than a rabid dog. The top story today, during the day, was this latest big lie out of the mouth of the Prince of Liars, Mahmoud Abbas, and his soulmate, when it comes to lying about Jews, John Kerry. You all know my concise definition of anti-Semitism, aka Jew hatred in every generation. It's lying about Jews. And that was apparent out of the mouths of both Abbas and Kerry this week, Tuesday and yesterday. One upside was it united this country. Everybody was PO'd, left to right, with these guys. On Tuesday, Kerry tongue-lashed Israel and said it had to live up to the Temple Mount's post-1967 status because, well, by implication, Israel was not doing that. He, in other words, was taking the position of the Arabs in supporting that accusation. He also refused to assign blame for the crisis to one side or the other. His spokesman, Mark Toner, at the State Department said his call against incitement was intended for both leaders. By implication, he was saying Netanyahu is inciting the Arabs to violence. Israel is doing something to provoke them, just as they say. And this is called, leastwise I call it, stabbing an ally in the back. Israel has been America's ally, not the Church of the Latter-day Palestinians. It is, in a way, linking arms with these murderous Palestinians, literally stabbing Jews in the back. They do it for real, with real blades. Kerry, in the August halls of diplomacy, does it with words. Last night, a State Department spokesman spoke of reports of Israel using excessive force. He referenced the one solitary Israeli attacking Bedouins at random in the desert town of Dimona, currently undergoing this fellow a psychiatric examination, versus the dozens of Arab terrorists and their murderers in their outbursts, as if, once again, the scales of justice here are perfectly balanced. Perfect moral equivalence between Jews and Arabs in their exercise of violence. They are moral equals in their moment of violence. On Tuesday, speaking at Harvard, Kerry spoke of Palestinian frustration and the, quote, massive building in the settlements in relation to these demoniacal outbursts of bloodlust and homicide. This is, of course, the age-old belief that the Jews themselves bring on anti-Semitism. Poor, poor, idealistic, post-pubescent, ancient Palestinian patriots are frustrated, he thinks, by the stalled peace process. And this is why they're committing suicide by murdering Jews. These are the implications of John Kerry's view of things here. These are people, John Kerry, Abbas, with problems when it comes to good and evil. In Kerry's mind, in the 1960s, the bad guys in Vietnam were his fellow Marines, and the good guys were the communist Viet Cong, whose rights and desires, he believed, had to be respected. And here he is, a generation later, in league with his own President Obama, who has radically removed U.S. military strength from the Middle East and stands mute, basically, as America-hating Islamist Iran rises to prominence and old Russia enters to plant its flag and bring in its troops. Today, all week, Kerry and Obama and the MSM in Europe have been uniform in misreporting the situation here, turning it inside out. Muslim maniacs with knives are stabbing Jews at random in the streets. The Jews kill the Muslim maniacs, and the MSM leads with the killers' deaths and the questions of Israel's crimes in these killings. Top story today was Abbas claiming that Israel's conducting field executions. Like that boy in Pisgat Zehev, he claimed he was executed in the street. Abbas did. In truth, he was felled, the boy, by a passing car. He did not die and is in a Jewish hospital. Mahmoud Abbas wrote a doctoral dissertation on the lie of a Holocaust and how the Jews collaborated with the Nazis in that period in killing the Jews who did get killed. Abbas adopted Arafat's tactic in July 2000, and that is to deny that the Jews ever had temples on Haram al-Sharif, and now he lies about our police and IDF and border guards carrying out field executions of innocent Palestinians. Let's think about that accusation for a moment, for he was more or less accusing Israelis, of pouncing on innocent Palestinians at random and killing them, which is a very good description, exactly, of what his boys are doing to us. pouncing on innocent Jews at random and killing them, executing them. His accusation is a classic textbook specimen of psychological projection. His accusation, which was the top story here, and how people responded to it, was that the Jews are murdering Palestinians at random. This is the mind of an uncivilized barbarian who cannot face, cannot confront, and handle guilt. I'm reminded of the eruption of the IRS scandal a couple of years ago when Bill O'Reilly interviewed the Muslim communist in the Oval Office, confronted him with the allegations of massive corruption at the IRS, to which Obama responded by brushing it off as politics. He said there was not a smidgen of corruption. Another president raised in a Judeo-Christian culture would respond with regret at the possibility of corruption and promise to investigate and root out the corruption. Instead, Obama just smirked and said, not a smidgen of corruption. Denial. This is Arab Muslim behavior. It is a way of life. It's a life of lying and denying, a way of pushing off failure and sin. Shame they know big time, but not guilt. This too goes back to Ham, whose sin was the exposure of his father's nakedness. First nakedness in the book, after the nakedness in the Garden of Eden. Without nakedness, there's no shame. The Arabs live in a society of veils for women and wraparound sunglasses for the sheikhs in their robes and their completely covered heads. It's an excessive covering up in public. Some good news was, to the extent politically possible, some politicians lashed out at Kerry for basically siding with our murderers. Gilad Erdan and Bogi Yaalon. Erdan used the word idiotic to describe Kerry's remarks. Yaalon spoke the word nonsense, and within minutes, the prime minister told all his ministers to cool it with the remarks, which was the prudent thing to do. Don't lie, but no good can come from blurting out the truth that we are dealing with anti-Jews and stupid ones to boot. Kerry really seems to think that the Muslims here shrieking Allahu Akbar, like that mass-murdering Muslim army doctor Fort Hood, are frustrated Palestinian patriots, driven to mass murder and suicide by the building of more homes for Jews inside of pre-Oslo existing communities. Oslo never called for throttling life inside the existing, especially large communities like Efrat and Ariel and Beit El. Jews have babies, the babies grow up, they get married, have more babies, and this growing population needs more homes, and the existing communities did not need to push out the boundaries of their settlements. They would need more homes inside the existing lines. That was Oslo. Not that this backstabber Kerry knows that. Not that it would make a difference. This dimwit cannot see the religious fanaticism of these homicidal and suicidal maniacs whose source has nothing to do with more apartments in Judea and Samaria. It has to do with the existence of the entirety of Israel. And if you want to talk about frustration, it's the frustration of Arabs who can't get their hands on our wealth. These men are also, I think, the victims, possibly. Beat up, psychosexually speaking. Hence the fantasy of violently raping virgins for all eternity. I would not be surprised if many of these homicidal, suicidal maniacs had been homosexually raped as boys, just like the sages may have thought in the 6th century in Iraq when they were witness to such behavior by the Muslims among whom they lived.
שוד כביש עוד הליכה קצרה אל תוך הלילה עוד ביש ועוד מזל גדול כזה מלמעלה מוחיש הכי צריך למצוא מקום לישון הלילה עוד איש עוד מטורף מחכה למשיח נוחיש נעשה דרך החלון, אולי תצליח.
קיר עוד קיר ועוד עוד מחיצה קלה, עוד קצת חושך, אין איש כאן. כולם הלכו לישון כבר עוד קודם, נוחיש כבר. אחי צריך למצוא מקום לישון הלילה, עוד שיר, עוד הזיה על גיבור עם כנפיים, נוחיש כבר. דפס על החלון, נעשה בשתי ידיים, לילה טוב. זאת לא מילה גסה יותר, אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר.
אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר.
ואיך זה נוגע לך בינתיים, נוחיש כבר. ונתפסו את מקומך הלילה, עוד איש
רוקד מול רמזור עם הרחוב מתבדח.
תגיד רבנו, אולי אתה יודע איך אפשר להיות שמח. אז לילה טוב, משוגע זאת לא מילה גסה יותר, אז משוגע זאת לא מילה גסה יותר, אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר.
אז לילה טוב ונדבר מחר.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, the two top stories here today were really one and the same, the lies of Kerry and the lies of Abbas, and how the global MSM is reporting these satanic knifings in the streets of Jews by insane homicidal maniacs in Berlin. J-Post Benjamin Weinthal reported on how the Israeli embassy fired back at the media there for their demented portrayal of events here. The Rheinische Post described the killings of the Arab attackers here as, quote, Jewish acts of revenge. Imagine you all saw that video of that Arab monster driving his car into that bus stop in Gula, knocking a man flying through the air like a rag doll, and then a nearby security guard runs over and shoots him as he's hacking that rabbi to death. That's not an act of revenge. German public radio did a piece as well called Pictures That Fuel a Revolt, with a narration claiming what Israel society brutalizes because it is shaped from its own military and occupation army whose soldiers with increasing brutality act against stone throwers. And it does not help that Arab primitives in Western suits and ties with PhDs like Saeb Arakat call for an international probe of Israel's killing. Quote, the Israeli government is fully responsible for the growing cycle of violence, extremism, and bloodshed. The Israeli pattern of dealing with the Palestinians now is based on field executions and unfair trials. We are a defenseless people living under occupation. Israel is killing civilians and children and practicing collective punishment, close quote. Again, projection. The most massive thing here in Israel today is the countrywide fear among Jews. Out in public, their heads constantly swiveling, fearing an attack. Terrorism spreads panic far beyond the site of an attack. A bomb explodes in a bus, say, in Beersheba, God forbid, and the next day the buses in Haifa are half empty. There and all around the country. Terrorism is the ultimate in collective punishment. Terrorism judges every Jew a worthy target for murder. And what continues to amaze yours truly is the foolishness of Israelis across the board continuing to hope for, to work for, to wave the flag of a peaceful solution amicably signed by both peoples. Israel will become an even better country when it stops agreeing to talk with Arakat and Abbas, the whole lot of them, because they are simply pathetic primitives for whom truth has no meaning. Guilt is a stranger, and bloodlust and cruelty periodically erupting among them in orgies of murder.
הדרת פנים ואזכר שתזדקר חוכמתי בשלוש עשרה מידות שהתורה נדרשת בהן ועל ידי זה יזדקר כל רינתי אכבד את השם מהוני ומגרוני מהונך, מהונך כבד השם מהונך אל תקרא מהונך אלא מגרונך מגרונך, מגרונך כבד השם מגרונך, 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 כבד השם מגרונך. כל רינתי ואכבד את השם מהוני ומגרוני מהונך, מהונך כבד השם מהוני השם מגרונך.
PMW reported this week that that Arab assassin in the old city who murdered those two Jewish men, both married, both rabbis, I think, no matter, one Muhannad Halabi, who was killed there after his multiple stabbings of Jews, was awarded posthumously an honorary law degree from the Palestinian Bar Association. Yeah, and out of control, uncivilized enemy of civil society, murders, and is given an honorary law degree for that. And I say there's nothing in Lewis Carroll's Wonderland any wackier than this reality we Jews in Israel have to deal with, confronted by these goy neighbors of ours. When, oh when, will it become clear to Israelis that no good can come from talking to such people as Arafat and Abbas? Toward what end? An amicable, mutually agreed peace treaty and an amicable division of Judea and Samaria and the rise of a peaceful, cooperative, neighboring Palestinian state? The original sin of Oslo was shaking hands to intellectual and ethical Neanderthals with their antediluvian morality. Israel will become stronger and better when we officially cancel Oslo and assert our full sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, if not yet the Temple Mount. So, thank God for this relatively quiet day. The IDF had to deal again with another mob of howling Arabs in the Gaza containment zone who carried on at the Jurassic Park-like barrier. Oh well, another day, another Ishmaelitic Hamitic mob scene. That's it for this week, this difficult week. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.